Speaking of unconfirmed things, I cannot confirm that his nickname was Wheel back in high school, but it would have been awesome. It's the Sacramento Bees, Matt Barrows. Get it, Wheel? There you go. Mm-hmm. Matt, how are you?
I'm great. And no, it wasn't Wheel. I'd never had speed or size or strength. basically.
I want to get some clarification from you on your tweets, because I do believe you are one of the best writers in the football business. Nobody covers the Niners quite as well as you. And I'm looking at a tweet from you about a half an hour ago, and it says, Cardinals are hurting, but the 49ers have been a cute-all for all opponents. Now, at first I thought Matt messed up and meant cure-all, but then I thought about it. I'm like, no, actually, Matt might be trying to send a message here, because the 49ers have been Robitussin for all these teams that have needed something. So the Arizona Cardinals might be going in tonight saying, you know what, this is a cute game, and we're going to win this sucker.
Well, no, my point was that the 49ers defense has been this adorable little kitty that you just play with and kind of bat around. But no, that was a – yeah, thank you for pointing out my error on the radio. That was awesome. You tend to do that, my choking attack.
That wasn't my fault.
I meant cure-all. And, boy, that elixir comment you made a couple of weeks ago obviously has stuck in my brain. Because I've used that phrase in the story, and it's true. I mean, these past few opponents have been vulnerable, and not only have the 49ers lost to them, playing the 49ers has appeared to really recharge some of these teams. And I'm talking about the Seahawks, yep, and then the Cowboys, very beatable team on Sunday, and just seem to get better and give them confidence that they can, you know, go through the season without Collins, their probably their best offensive lineman, their guard, who's out with a toe injury now for probably the season. But boy, they ran roughshod over the 49ers, and every team has so far except for the Rams.
Well, and the Cardinals have definitely struggled to start the season, so you got to know that they're looking at this game as a get right game as well, Matt. But if you're the 49ers and the Cardinals are without Carson Palmer because of the concussion, you're going in with your backup quarterback, Drew Stanton, how much faith should you have in the fact that you're going to be able to put some pressure on him and make him uncomfortable in this game?
Well, you shouldn't have very much faith at all, because you haven't been able to do that. Now, you know, one thing that's different is Aaron Lynch is coming back, probably their best pass rusher. Well, for certain their best pass rusher. The question mark with him is how up to speed is he? How in shape is he? How many snaps is he going to get? And the indications were that he would sort of be eased in this game. It wouldn't be a full-bore start for him. So I'm not sure how much they can count on him. And then, you know, DeForest Buckner isn't going to play. Eric Armstead is dealing with his shoulder injury. You know, Ahmad Brooks is, you know, the same old Ahmad Brooks we've seen for the last half dozen seasons. He's good for, you know, 6 or 7 sacks a year, but he's not a guy who's constantly going to put pressure on the defense. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. I mean, a gimpy Russell Wilson was able to fairly easily escape this defense. Dak Prescott as well. So, Drew Stanton beat this team, beat a much better defense, 49ers defense, you know, one that had Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman back in 2000. Well, I guess not Bowman, but Patrick Willis and some other star players back in 2014. So he's capable of doing it. And they certainly have a better wide receiving core than the 49ers saw Sunday against the Cowboys. You know, this is going to be yet another team that probably leans heavily on its running game, and the 49ers know that. But knowing that and preparing for that haven't seemed to help in these last few games.
Matt, on the offensive side of things, Torrey Smith has had a pretty rough year. And, you know, some of the comments he's made lately, it seems like he's frustrated. I've mostly been reading them, but he's been talking about, listen, I've been open, you know, basically, hey, get me the ball. It's not my fault the stats are so low. In reading those comments, it sounds like there's some serious frustration there. But you're there, you're in the building. Is that boiling over for Torrey Smith, or does it just look bad in print?
Well, it looks bad in print. I mean, he was calm and in control when he said it, and I believe him when he says that, you know, he's not feuding with Blaine Gabbert, or there's no issues with Gabbert. I think that's all right. I mean, they're both you know, professional guys, smart guys. So, but, you know, it's clear. I mean, this is what he said. He said, that's rarely happened in my career, but it did happen last year when Colin Kaepernick was misfiring, and it was both Torrey Smith and Anquan Boldin who were, you know, acting demonstratively on the field and, you know, throwing their arms in the air and doing all sorts of things to indicate that they weren't happy. And now it's happening this year. So, you know, the few times that Torrey Smith has lost his cool have been in the last 2 years, and you can see why. I mean, he's off to an even worse start this year than he was a year ago. And then, you know, the bottom line to this is that those fits of pique that he had last year sort of prefaced the 49ers making a move at quarterback from Colin Kaepernick to Blaine Gabbert, and you can only imagine that the reverse is going to happen at some point this year. The question is when. You know, and it was after 8 games last year that Kaepernick got the hook. That's probably a good call for this year as well.
Sacramento Bee's Matt Barrows with us. 4 games and 3 losses. How's the locker room doing confidence-wise with Chip Kelly?
It's still there. I mean, you know, no one's abandoning ship. People still believe in the system. At least they're saying so. But at some point, you don't. I mean, at some point, you realize that you're out of the race. You've lost 4 in a row. Things aren't working. And you do look at the scheme. I mean, I thought it was just so typical when, you know, Jim O'Neill, the defensive coordinator, was asked a couple of days ago, you know, what's wrong? I mean, what's the first thing you need to do? And he said the thing that every coach says, which is, oh, we need to work on our technique. Our technique is off. Because that's the one thing that you really can control. I mean, personnel is set at this point. You're not going to, Justin Smith's not walking through that door for the 49ers. So coaches always say, when things start to go downhill, that, oh, we just need to work on our technique, our tackling is off. I'm not sure that's the tackling might be off, but that's not the root of this team's issues. The root is either personnel or the scheme that they're running, and that means that, you know, either the GM is messed up in acquiring talent, or that the coaching staff isn't doing the right things with that talent. That's what it always boils down to. And at some point, the players realize that. And I don't think that's happened yet, but boy, it's got to happen at some point.
Matt, from the beginning of the preseason to now, and where you see them after 4 weeks at 1-3, have you seen any schematic changes from Chip Kelly to try and adjust and make some changes to get them back on the right track?
No, and that was the big critique from a lot of the writers and observers in Philadelphia, is that year after year, the Chip Kelly system seemed to get less and less effective. The wins went down, things like average yards per carry, for example, went down, and nothing changed. I mean, the scheme didn't change, and so the question was, is Chip Kelly sort of evolving to counter the moves that defenses are doing? And the conclusion in Philadelphia was that, no, he wasn't. And, that'll be interesting to see here. I thought defensively, one thing that was different from week 3 to week 4 was that Gerald Hodges was not in the lineup at all on defense. And you'll recall the complaint from the coaching staff was that the 49ers were misaligned a couple of times early in that game, and that led to some big runs by Kristen Michael, and who ended up with more than 100 yards. And then lo and behold, it's Gerald Hodges who's on the bench. So I think we can safely conclude that Gerald Hodges may have messed up a couple of times. But, so Gerald Hodges is on the bench and Michael Wilhoit's in the game. And the 49ers still let up, 138 yards to Ezekiel Elliott in the game. So it's sort of rearranging deck furniture on the Titanic at this point. Something bigger is wrong, and I'm not sure that shuffling the lineup, which the 49ers have done and will have to do again because Navarro Bowman and Buckner are out, are going to solve their issues.
You know, and you brought up that stubbornness of Chip Kelly as Matt Burrows of the Bee joins us on KHDK. One of the things that I noticed on Sunday, at a critical fourth and six, they break the huddle. They run a bunch out to the right. They got a bunch of receivers on the right. The clock's running down, and the receivers are quarreling with each other. They don't know where to line up. So they have to waste their, you know, the first of their three timeouts. They're inside 2 minutes. Now, obviously, it's a make or break fourth and six. You go to that timeout. You come out, you're Chip Kelly, and you run the exact same formation, presumably the same play, because the Cowboys had it sniffed out, and you end up with Torrey Smith 2 yards short of the sticks. I mean, that's, I'm not crazy, right? That's pretty uncommon to have to blow a timeout like that and then come out and run the exact same look.
Right, and, you know, your whole offense is predicated on rhythm and kind of, you know, catching the defense unaware, catching, you know, running a play so quickly that the defense can't counter and bring in personnel to thwart what you're going to do. Calling a timeout, as you note, and then running the same play allows the defense to prepare for what you have. You know, I think what may have been at issue, and I'm just guessing here, is that they had a rookie in there, Aaron Burbridge, and he just didn't know exactly where to line up or what the play was. That seemed to be what was going on with that bunch formation. And, you know, you're going to have that, but it happened at a critical juncture in the game, and you're right. I mean, the Cowboys knew exactly what to do. They played that perfectly. They grabbed a hold of the two guys who were going deep, took that away from Blaine Gabbert, and flushed Gabbert out of the pocket so that he was limited to a corner of the field. And then Torrey Smith ran a 3-yard pattern on a 6-yard play. So there you have it. The rest is history. It just is such a microcosm of the 49ers' problems this year. You need 6 yards. You run a route for three. I mean, that's it in a nutshell for these first four games.
Matt Burrows joining us. Last thing, Matt, with Navarro Bowman out and the Niners' defense already Swiss cheesy, and Chris Johnson's on IR, is David Johnson going to rush for 200, 300, or 400 yards?
First of all, I'm stealing Swiss cheesy from you for a couple of articles next week. Yeah, David Johnson, I was looking up his stats. He's got one 100-yard game in his career, and it came against, wait for it.
Oh, no.
The Philadelphia Eagles last year, who were coached by Chip Kelly. So it would fit the pattern. I mean, they've given up 100-yard games to guys named Fozzie, Kristen, and Zeke.
It's like a band.
It's only appropriate that a biblical name like David is the next one on the list.
You know, I hope you're already at the game, because we were talking about this earlier. You've got Cardinals and Niners, and then, you know, right across the street, damn near, you have the Kings and Warriors tonight. Warriors going down to SAP Center. So that is going to be ugly there.
Well, I don't know if you're familiar with the geography of the Bay Area, but we're talking 40-some-odd miles separating those two venues, so I think we'll be okay.
Hold on, I thought they were close to each other. Hold on.
In Dave's mind, they're 10 minutes away from each other.
If you're in the San Jose area...
I don't know how fast you drive, Dave. The rest of us, it would take a little while.
Well, hey, let's be honest. You know, San Jose, Santa Clara, San Francisco.
Same difference.
What's the difference?
Yeah. The same thing. Jeez.
Wow.
Everybody has the Matt Burrows copter to get from place to place. Hey, buddy, appreciate it as always. You can check out Matt Burrows. I'm thrown now. At sackb.com. Matt's got his five players to watch up there. And then scrolling down a little bit, look at this article. Cardinals are hurting, but Niners have been elixir for opponents. So I'll look.
There you go. I'm copying the best.
Have a good time tonight, buddy.
Thanks,
we'll
Matt.
Talk to you next week.
All right. Talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye.
See you. That is Matt Burrows.